the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When it heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the home, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. We're not given the names of these wise men. We're not given their number. Oh, they say that there were three. They have surmised that because there are three gifts that are mentioned, but the scripture doesn't tell us. And men have guessed about that. We don't know their number. They don't know their names. We don't know their nationality. We don't know their education. They may have been kings, for all we know. But the scripture says they were wise men. And those that find themselves at the feet of Christ are the only real wise men as far as God is concerned. God is not the least impressed by the wisdom of this world. The scripture says the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The world by its wisdom knew not God. What good is any wisdom if you're not introduced to the living God, the one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? And everyone in this room and everyone in this world is either wise or otherwise. And it all depends on whether you've been made wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. And way back in the Old Testament, God warned men not to boast about their wisdom, and yet men boast about it continuously. He said, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he knoweth and understandeth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And if we aren't on the Lord's side in this thing, we are in sad shape indeed. Their gifts are the first recorded gifts in the New Testament. And the gifts that we're going to be speaking about are not the gifts of God to us the next few days, but the gifts of God given to him. And this is one of them. We know they came from afar. We know that the gifts were expensive. We know that the gifts were expressive because they have a message for us. And we know that the gifts were exclusive. They presented their gifts to him. Not one of their gifts was given to Mary or Joseph, but to a little boy, less than 2 years old, because Herod diligently inquired what time it was that they had seen this star in the east. When was the child born? I'd like to consider with you this unique story. We're not told where they came from. We're told they came from the east. And the east in the Bible is symbolic of human wisdom. They turned their back on human wisdom. There may have been three of them. As I said, there may have been 40. We don't know. The scripture says that they came, and they came from the east. We know that they didn't find him in Bethlehem because after the birth of Christ, they went to their own city, and their own city was not Bethlehem, it was Nazareth. Those in Judea, the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew what the scripture taught, that he was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, but if they'd gone there, they wouldn't have found him there because he wasn't there. And after they had left Herod and left the men that had the scriptures in their hands, the star reappeared. His star, they called it. We have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. They came from a great distance. Those nearby, those in Bethlehem, and those in Jerusalem, they may have known the scriptures, but they were not the least bit concerned about him. Oh, I know he showed himself to those shepherds. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, but the large part of the people, he was just not noticed. They came seeking him to Jerusalem. They thought, well, that's the capital city. That's where you would expect the king to be. And they inquired of the king, and the king inquired of those who knew the scripture. But when they came and actually saw the child, they saw the young child. It doesn't say anything about a baby. They saw the young child and his mother. And five times over, that's exactly what it says. The young child and his mother. Not once does it say, like the hymn says, round yon virgin, mother and child. It doesn't say that. In each instance, he is given the preeminence. The young child and his mother. And what did they see? They saw a little boy. Nothing is said of what he said. We don't know if he said anything, but he was old enough to have said something. Our children generally prattle something by the time they're 2 years of age or under. They say something. But not one word, if he spoke a word, is recorded. We don't know what he said. They came seeking a person. And they saw a boy in a house, it says, not in a manger, in a house. And we're not told whether what kind of a home it was, but we surmise it was a very poor home, because when they came to the temple, when the boy was just a little fellow, just a baby, they brought the offering of the poor, the two turtle doves. That's all they could afford. He came into a home of poverty. He was the only one that ever came into this world who could pick who could choose where he was to be born and when he was to be born and how he was to be born. And of all places, he chose to be born in a manger. That should tell us something about him. One of the things that all of us are subject to is pride. We're very proud of our children. We're very proud of our grandchildren. "I'm so proud of you." This is what we tell them. And they accept that and they go on with that. But it's rather an interesting thing to realize that the most humble person in the universe is God himself. The Lord Jesus said, "He that has seen me hath seen the Father." And we have no physical description of our Lord Jesus given. We don't know whether he's short or tall. We don't know whether he's thin or fat. We don't know whether he's white or a little sort on the brown side. We know he was a Jew. The only description that is given of him is the one he gives of himself. Man looks on the outward appearance. They look at the way things appear to be. But the Lord said, "Judge not by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Don't judge by the outside." And this is what he said: "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." The most humble being in the universe is God himself. And God hates pride. God knows the proud afar off. But he says a humble and a contrite spirit he will not despise. They worshiped him. They worshiped him. How beautiful. The scriptures have the Father seeketh worshipers. And the Father doesn't seek worshipers only for himself. The Father seeks worshipers for his Son. John 4:23 says, "The Father seeketh worshipers, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." In John 5:23, the Lord Jesus said, "All men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father." And so in our worship, we express it to not only the Father, but the Son. And that Son said in Matthew chapter 4, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And while the apostles refused worship, and while the angel refused worship, seven times over in Matthew alone, we read, they worshiped him. And when Thomas fell at his feet and said, "My Lord and my God," the Lord Jesus did not rebuke him, but he said, "Blessed art thou." He said, "You have, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." He didn't rebuke Thomas for confessing him as his Lord and his God. They were expressive gifts, and I want to think with you a little bit about them. They were gifts, really, that were fit for a king. Where is he that is born king? They just sought one person. They had made that long trip over many weary miles just to find one person. They were exclusive gifts. They opened their treasures. They came prepared to give. They didn't just suddenly decide, "Well, we'll buy some things to give to this one." They had brought them all those weary miles. They thought about it. They planned it. They provided for it. And they made that long, weary journey, prepared to give their gifts to the king. They had no other purpose for it. Nothing else was intended for those gifts. The long promised one had come. And their gifts, great as they were, they recognized that they could not even begin to compare with the gift that God had given to them. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Perhaps they had some knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. Perhaps they knew, as Matthew 1 tells us, that the one who came would be born of the seed of David and of the seed of Abraham, that he was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. Perhaps they knew that. At any rate, they were told by the wise men in Israel who knew the scriptures that the one that God intended was going to be born in Bethlehem. That little spot in the world, that little insignificant town. And yet it is most significant, because out of thee shall he come forth that shall be ruler in Israel. That's where the king was to be born. They brought expensive gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And these gifts, we're not told how much gold they brought. But gold in Scripture is a symbol of the glory of God. They came to glorify God. They brought frankincense. And the Lord Jesus' entire life here was one that went up to God as a sweet smelling savor. After his first 30 years of life had been lived, God opened the heavens to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." His entire life was a fragrance ascending to God. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? The question is asked in the Song of Solomon. And she begins to describe her beloved. She says, you know, he's got a golden head. His head is solid gold. The glory of God is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. He came to glorify God. The glory of God. Gold. Golden in his wisdom. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Solid gold. His hands are gold. Not only is wisdom gold, but his work, his power was gold. He went about doing good. Solid gold. And his feet, like the most fine gold. His walk here on earth was one of unparalleled glory to God. They were expensive gifts, and they showed out the life of the Lord Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was a bitter thing. It speaks to us of the Lord's death. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, he said, and then to enter into his glory? Yes, Christ also hath once. It really means once for all. It's a one-time thing. Suffered for sins, the just. For us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Oh, what a load we sing was thine to bear alone in that dark hour. Our sins and all their terror there, God's wrath and Satan's power. The storm that bowed thy blessed head is hushed forever now, and rest divine is ours instead, whilst glory crowns thy brow. And we're told, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The Father seeks worshipers, and it's our privilege to glorify Him. Lord of glory, we adore Thee. Christ of God, ascended high. Heart and soul we bow before Thee, glorious now beyond the sky. Thee we worship. Thee we praise. Excellent in all Thy ways. Their question was, where is He that is born King of the Jews? And they were led by the stars to find themselves at His blessed feet. Our attention is called not to what was done by them, but what was done for them and in them. And we have seven mentions, as I said, of worship. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy when they saw that star reappear. And that star led them step by step. And it came and stood over where the young child was. This is it. This is it. This is it. And they went in. And to me, it is one of the most amazing examples of faith in the Scripture. They were led by the star that they had seen in the east. His star, it's called. And they came, led by that star again after they left Herod, and were brought to the very spot where the Lord Jesus was. And they went in, and they saw a little boy, about 2 years of age, not in any royal robes. They couldn't afford any royal robes. All they had was just the clothing of the poor. And there he was. And they saw that little boy with no royal robes. They didn't see a halo around his head. They didn't see anything. They were walking by faith and not by sight. They didn't see anything about him. No word from him is recorded that he said. But they fell at his feet. They saw the young child with Mary's mother, and they fell at his feet. And they recognized, this is the Savior that God has sent into the world. I don't know of any greater faith, some comparable, but no greater faith than exhibited by these wise men. Herod wanted them to come back and tell them about finding the young child. But they were warned of God in a dream, and they returned to their own country another way. I wonder sometimes what they said when they got back. They must have said, we found the King. Perhaps they knew they had found the King of Kings. The one who came in utter lowliness. But they recognized, this is God's King. And I have no doubt that when he got back to that part from which they came, we're not told exactly from where they came. We don't know their nationality. We don't know their number. We don't know their names. There are a lot of things we don't know about them. For we do know they were wise men. And that's all that really counts with God. Whether you've been made wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Everything else is just fluff. It doesn't mean anything. As far as God is concerned, and it doesn't mean anything as far as eternity is concerned. What God is interested in is if you, like these wise men, have found your feet, your faith, yourself at the feet of the Savior and confessed Him as your Lord and King. If you've ever said, King of my life, I crown thee now. And God is intensely interested. And God considers anybody who makes that confession as a wise man. Wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. I do trust and pray, as we've considered this morning, this first gift of men to God, recording the New Testament, we may seek by God's grace to be wise like they were wise. And if we've never before made our way to the feet of the Savior, we'll do it today. And if we've already made the trip, just come to the feet of the Savior and recognize that while He didn't have any royal robes then, to recognize that in His times He will show who is the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And to say, as we sometimes sing, royal robes shall soon invest thee. Royal splendors crown thy brow. Christ of God, our souls confess thee King and Sovereign even now. Thee we reverence, thee obey, own thee Lord and Christ alway. May God bless to us His word. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we come to Thee today in the precious and worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful that the day is coming when Thou hast decreed every knee shall bow and every tongue shall own Him Lord to Thy glory. Oh, how we thank Thee. How we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast taught us by Thy grace to acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, our coming King. Help us, Lord, today to walk in obedience to His word and to say from our hearts, Lord Jesus, what wilt Thou have me to do? We commend Thy word to Thee and thank Thee for this time in Thy own precious and worthy name. Amen.